If it's Monday and it's around 7:32, it's time for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, and he's here with us again this morning. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. How nice the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for any time of the year, much less August.
Yeah.
So I have August and weather on my mind this morning because in Italy, today is a national holiday called Ferragosto, which dates back literally to 18 BC. So it's well ingrained in the Italian DNA that on August 15th, you better not be home. You better have vacated on vacation, either at the shore or in the mountains. And really, I'm not sure how people can enjoy Italy when they're traveling in August, because practically everything's closed. Ferragosto. So, by the way, the holiday was declared by Caesar Augustus, for whom August is even named, and it was because it was the end of the wheat harvest. Now, I did try to find this out, but I couldn't. If the wheat harvest has changed over two millennia, 2,000 years, and, you know, because of climate change, but certainly it around this time of year, nobody wants to be in the fields harvesting wheat. So, and most of the wheat, by the way, these days anyway, is grown in the south of Italy, in Puglia. And certainly, if it was planted, I guess, in April and May, that you would be harvesting it now. I have seen, I've never witnessed wheat harvest, but I have seen the wheat fields after they have been harvested, about this time of the year, in Puglia, because they are burned back, and they're black patches on the countryside. And I asked a friend who is, he has college degrees in agriculture about this, and he said there are molds that grow on the stubble of the wheat, and funguses that grow, not nice ones, not good mushrooms, that grow on the harvested fields, and so they burn it back. And it's a clean bacterial slate when they replant. In any case, day off, so really was more than a day, coincides, of course, with the worst heat, usually, of the summer. And later on, in Christian times, as many secular, pagan, Jewish customs got incorporated into Catholicism, Ferragosto became the Feast of the Assumption, the day that Mary ascended to heaven. I'm not Catholic, so I can't give you more details than that, but I do know, and I have even participated in, Feast of the Assumption processions. Right near Cecilia's farm in Pestum, in the hills just above it, because you can actually see the church from her farm, there is a procession that goes up the side of the mountain, slowly but surely, very slowly in the heat of the summer, carrying paper boats. I'm not getting into that. Every holiday in Italy is associated with some kind of food. And so I've always been calling the Feast of the Assumption, the Feast of Consumption, of the Consumption. Because all I'm after on Feast of the Assumption or Ferragosto is, what are you cooking? In fact, I was on the phone with Iris yesterday, and Iris lives in Rome. Her son lives in Turin with his wife, and they're escaping, they're vacating to a hill town in Liguria where it's cool. Even so, they're walking around practically naked because it's so hot. it's not cool. They vacated there. I once vacated to the mountains. I don't like the beach very much. I like to look at the sea, but I don't really want to be with the hordes at the beach. I did once go to a famous beach place, Tropea, which is in Calabria, and it was terrible. And I went there only because I'd been there off-season, and I fell in love with the town. But off-season was a totally different experience than in the middle of the high season. Anyway, the quality of tourists had changed. Let's put it that way. The most intriguing food for Ferragosto is something that I discovered, I don't know, 30-something years ago, and it's eggplant with chocolate. Now, I know, sounds really fusion-y, horrible. Who came up with that? And I wanted to know the who came up with that part. I found recipes for it in books, but nobody actually told me what the history was. And you know me, I have to know these things. It's a dessert, of course, made for Ferragosto on the Amalfi Coast in many different ways, but sort of following a pattern. There are fireworks in Ravello, I think, or Amalfi. It may actually go maybe from a boat that goes down the coast, so you can see them even from Positano. So people have parties, fireworks parties, and this is what they serve. So in the old recipes, I have a recipe for this in Naples at Table, which, let's remember, I wrote, 20, almost 30 years ago, or I certainly was writing it 30 years ago. I have a recipe in there. I haven't even looked at it, not even this morning when I'm going to talk about it. It's essentially fried eggplant layered with chocolate sauce or chocolate, and either and or nuts, candied fruits. They're very big on candied fruits along the Amalfi Coast, but they have superior candied fruits. Citron, cherries, pears, you name no apples. Apricots. They have particularly good candied fruits. I'm not a candied fruit guy. I'm just happy with nuts. And if you want to put a candied fruit in my case, give me candied cherries any day. Those I like. And I would dice them up a little bit. But it's interesting. In the old days, they would fry this twice. First, to soften the eggplant slices. And then another time, after it's been dipped in flour an egg, meaning a batter, and fried again. I did it once. It was too much frying. It was too much oil. We all know how eggplant likes to sop up oil. Old recipes will also tell you, perhaps even mine, I didn't look this morning, to soak salt or soak in salt water the eggplant to remove bitterness. Raise your hand if you have had a bitter eggplant in the last 15, 20 years. I keep trying for them, daring this eggplant to be bitter if I don't salt it, and they never are. So I think that's an old instruction. The only time I salt eggplant is if I'm going to, let's just say I don't do it anymore. So I would just dip it in egg and flour and fry it once. And then you can make all kinds of different chocolate sauces. I like one that will get firmed up once it cools down. It's got to be liquid to start. And I like the conceit of making this to look like an eggplant in the end, meaning you put down you slice the eggplant long ways, put it down on the plate after it's fried, sprinkle it, put some chocolate sauce on it, sprinkle it with chopped, I'll get to in a second, and then put another slice of eggplant on top of that, and more, and then you could just nap it with more chocolate sauce and sprinkle on. I'll get to it in a second. Or you can actually pile it up even more until you have a little mound of eggplant with chocolate sauce that sort of looks like an eggplant. The now I'll tell you what it is. Is I learned this from a friend who lives in Ravello. And instead of nuts and candied fruits, she puts chopped Jordan almonds. You know, the almonds, the candy-coated almonds, and you can confetti in Italian. And you can get them in all different colors. And she coarsely chops them up. And she puts some in the middle and some on top. And it's very festive-looking, of course, because it's all different colors. And if you want to, you can put a cherry on top. If you're using the candied cherries. So in essence, it's the eggplant becomes a filling for chocolate, like a cream-filled bonbon, because the eggplant becomes very creamy. And I don't really think you need to have it dipped in anything. I would just, these days, I would just fry the eggplant slices, drain them on a rack so that you get some excess oil off of them, and layer them. I did have, many years ago, I don't know if they still do this, at a restaurant called Don Alfonso. I don't know how many Michelin stars they have these days, but it was a Michelin-starred restaurant when I went, which never really impresses me. And I actually worked in the kitchen here and talked and sort of palled around with the owner, Alfonso. Anyway, he did it. It was, you know, Nouvelle Cuisine. He did a slice of sponge cake on top of which he put a steamed slice of eggplant and then the chocolate sauce. And then he garnished it with nuts and candied fruits. I don't remember there being candied fruits in the middle. I did this once in my life. I tried it. They have an inordinate love of sponge cake in Naples and the south of Italy. So if you can, if you have an opportunity to use sponge cake, a nice thin layer of Genoise, you do. Anyway, the other thing is I once escaped I escaped Ferragosto going to a place called Camigliatello Silano, which is in the hills of Calabria. I can't take the weather in Italy in August, but I was stuck there for whatever reasons, cooking school, research on a book, travel groups, with a lot of reasons. So, but I was free, you know, for Ferragosto, like everybody, because what else are you going to do but be free? My friend said, go to Camigliatello Silano because even in the middle of August, you might need a sweater at night. So so I did a little research online. This is a long time ago, though. And I found a place in Camigliatello Silano, and I called to make a reservation. They build themselves as a bed and breakfast, but they aren't really. They have bungalows, and they have one building, an old baronial mansion, that they've turned into guest rooms. Anyway, I said to the woman I'm talking to, I'm a food writer, and I'm working on this book, and I would like to meet some local people, men, women, restaurateurs, home cooks, who can tell me about the very local cuisine of Camigliatello. So she says, I don't really know anything about this. I'm not a food person myself, but my father is. And I'm sure, because when you're coming, he'll be here. It's the family estate. His name is Maurizio Boracco, and we became friends. I was talking to his daughter. I get to his estate in Camigliatello, and he's about my weight. He's about my girth. And immediately he points to my belly and says, I suppose we have some common interests. And then, the other common interest was, why was I carrying this? Or maybe he was carrying, because the moment I met him on his place, he was carrying this wooden mortar and pestle that I had just bought from a man on the side of a road who was selling all these wooden things that he was made. Well, of course, the Baroccos have a gift shop in their facility. And Mauricio bought a bunch of stuff from him. There's a local woodsman who carves these things, and I just had to buy something, so I bought a big mortar and pestle, which, of course, I still treasure. And he was carrying the same thing, so we bonded. We have since become friends. He's a very important person in Naples, even though he's in Calabria. His family is from Calabria. They're the barons of Camigliatello. And his wife, Mirella, is she's been called in the newspaper the last queen of Naples because she does so many civic good works. In fact, if you look up Mirella Baracco online, you'll come up with a lot of her spouting off about the problems of Naples and the good things of Naples, including her foundation. She started a foundation to promote the history and culture of Naples, mainly to school children. And she raises money, and they give it to school districts, not just in the South, but mainly in the South. And the children adopt a local historic site or figure, and they learn all about it. This is all funded by her foundation, Foundation Napoli 99. Doesn't refer to 1999. It refers to 1799. But anyway, so up in the mountains there, you eat differently, of course, than you eat down by the shore. And it's here in Camigliatello Silano that I discovered that sausage and peppers is not Neapolitan. It is really Calabrese. Around here in the mountains, there are these little chalet-type stands along the side of the road that do grilled sausage and fried peppers. And in the winter, this place is a ski resort. And in the summer, as I said, it's an escape from the heat. And one of the things about Ferragosto is that because it's the holiday, there are food festivals all over Italy, not just in the south, but up north too. And they're called Sagra, S-A-G-R-A, Sagra. So a Sagra could be for a local agricultural product. For instance, I've been to a Sagra for chickpeas. It was, I guess it's early fall, and they were harvesting chickpeas. Hence, there was a chickpea festival in this town where they grow a lot of chickpeas. I've been to truffle Sagra. There's one near Cecilia. I'm forgetting the name of the town, but they have black truffles, and they're really good black truffles, and they're very cheap if you go up to the truffle Sagra. In fact, truffles in Calabria can be they can be plentiful, and one of the things that I'm laughing because Maurizio Baracco, when I first met him, he said, I'm just a simple guy. And he was telling me all about various food things. But he's not at all a simple guy. He's the president of the Banco di Napoli, and his godmother was Elsa Schiaparelli. And he and his wife, Mirella, have been photographed by Slim Aarons. Do you know who Slim Aarons is?
No.
Yeah, doesn't the name sound familiar, though?
It only sounds familiar because I know Slim Pickens.
Well, Slim Aarons, I don't know what his real name was, but that was the name we all know him by, was what we would now call celebrity photographer and portraitist. He took pictures of the mainly, they didn't have to be so famous, but they had to be rich. And, for instance, just like 2 weeks ago, Safra, I can't remember her first name, died. And the picture, like a quarter-page picture in the New York Times obit, was done by Slim Ahrens. So, anyway, celebrity photographer. So, but Maurizio, who likes to think of himself as a simple person, once it was truffle time in Camigliatello, and we went to visit, and they had this literally, it's a baronial kitchen, because this is a baronial mansion. They don't live in the mansion anymore, by the way. They live in a small house next door. But in that way, I guess he's simplified. He's downsized. But they have this vast kitchen paved with Neapolitan tile of the era of the house, which is, let's say, late 1700s, early 1800s. I don't really know the exact date, but it is in a vast house in Posillipo in Naples, and it's in fact even bigger than the next door neighbor. The next door neighbor is the president of the republic, which is not the same, by the way, as being the prime minister of the republic. But anyway, in this vast kitchen hung with antique copper that is very well maintained. They have at least one, probably several servants. I only know one who keep up the copper. But with two big stoves, one day Maurizio made risotto. I'm a simple guy. We'll just have a little risotto for lunch. Fine, I like that. So he makes the risotto. But what are we putting on top of the risotto? An endless amount of shaved black truffle. So there's the simple guy. By the way, it's not only Ferragosto, Feast of the Assumption, but I slip sometimes. Today is Mozzarella Day in Italy. If you go to the beach today, which half the country does, on the way to the beach, there's going to be a stand, either seasonal or not, depending on what part of the country you're in. On the way to the beach, there will be a stand selling mozzarella, freshly made mozzarella, or fiore di latte, which is cow's milk cheese, whereas mozzarella usually implies buffalo milk cheese. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, in a lot of people get these things confused, but... And mozzarella, you know, in Italian-American, they say mozzarella. So I think I even told this a few weeks ago, but what we used to buy as mozzarella in the supermarket, wrapped in plastic, nowadays you can get the real deal. A listener many, many years ago said to me, her father always called it scamorz, meaning scamorza. Scamorza is a low-moisture form of mozzarella, and he was right. I always say it's not good mozzarella, but it's very good scamorza. By the way, I notice even here, middle of summer becomes mozzarella summer. There's more caprese's on my Facebook feed than any other food.
I love watching people make mozzarella.
Oh yeah, well I've seen it. I can't tell you how many times, but yeah. There is machine made, but handmade mozzarella. But the mozzarella, the word comes from the verb mozzare, which means to lop off, as in Marie Antoinette's head, lop off. And the reason you say lop off is because the big ball, the way it's made is you make curd, by adding whatever, I won't get into that, then you cut the curd, and then you heat the curd. This is very particular to the south of Italy. You heat the curd until it becomes very elastic with hot water, and then you knead this mass of stretchy curd, and you lop off a big ball of it with your hand by just, like if you were going to strangle somebody, that's another verb, but you just take one hand and you lop off a ball of it at the end, and that's the most that, then it goes into cool water to cool down. And, you know, I love freshly made mozzarella, and I'm very particular about mozzarella because for so many years I was spending so much time on Cecilia's farm, where the buffalo are making the milk to make the mozzarella, and the mozzarella would be just a couple, where we had the cheese made was maybe 2 miles away, 3 miles away. And I don't know, I never measured it, but it only took a few minutes to get there. And one day, I'll never forget this, we were sitting around the table with not a group of our students, because they would have known better. We would always take them to watch the mozzarella being made. I think the health department has put an end to that, by the way. We're not allowed to bring in more than two or three at a time now. Anyway, somebody said to Cecilia, when was this cheese made? And she looked at her watch and said, about 2 hours ago. So, anyway, I haven't... And she used to bring me this cheese before we had to put everything in the suitcase. And the first time we had to do that, she put the cheese in the suitcase, even though packed extremely well in styrofoam tub, taped very closely together, blah-bitty-blah.
Leak.
It all leaked out, and her whole suitcase had to be sent to the dry cleaner. So that was the last time we tried to do that. And you can't carry in the cheese anymore. Not for any agriculture department reason, because it's, I guess you can hide plastic bombs in there.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway. Right. So I spend in Ferragosto in Brooklyn, and I'm happy not to be in the heat of Italy. As I said, Iris is it's someplace that's supposed to be cool, yet I noticed that she, her daughter-in-law, and her son were all walking around in bathing suits. So that's how cool it was.
All right, my friend,
we're going to have a nice week.
And I'll speak to you next weekend.
And I hope so.
All right. Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio, RobinHoodRadio.com on the web.